What's up, guys? Welcome to Lunch Plus. It is a wonderful Tuesday, and I'm so glad you guys are here. Tell us who you are, where you're watching from. Put it in the comments. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, do all those things, but it's a good day. We're excited to see you.
Your shirt is very bright.
It is incredibly orange, and I enjoy it. I enjoy it very much.
That is the kind of shirt that you wear when you're hunting. So, like, they have, like,
I'm
a hunter's orange.
I'm safety orange. I am the... This is statistically the safest sweatshirt that I could wear. That's an absolute.
Right,
it's a very,
so
it's very safe.
Continue.
It's safe. All right, let's see who we got on. Would you like to greet the people?
I just read where Buddy said hi from Jersey Shore.
Oh, dang it. I was about to. So if you guys don't know, we recently started 6 a.m. prayer. Shameless plug. If you guys want to come join us for 6 a.m. prayer every day, we have it right here on the Brian Wright YouTube channel. But we started a Life 360 group recently for all of the people who come in and set up in the mornings for prayer and stuff like that, so that we know where we were at like 5 o'clock in the morning. And so I saw Serena and Joni put in the comments, hello. And I was like, ooh, I want to see where they are. Ooh, I'm going to see where Jersey Shore is. And
Evangelist Jonathan is on us. Jonathan, so good to have you today, sir.
Whoa,
excited
thank you, Jonathan.
To hear. I just found out. I saw where he's going to, I don't know if I can say it. Well, I guess I can because it was on the internet, but he's going, I believe it's Columbia.
Oh, wow.
And
that's awesome.
And the Lord provided the funds that was needed and that
wow.
kind of stuff. Like, it was supernatural. Like, in a couple of days, everything was provided for.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. Glad to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us, Evangelist Jonathan.
Yeah, it's good to see you, sir. All right, we got Jake LeBrec watching from home. Jake, it is so good to see you again. And this time, I know what you actually look like since you came and visited us. So
yeah,
it's good to see you.
His name is, his face is not a J.
No.
We got, you
we
have
really
to
gotta
put
update
a,
that.
You have to put a picture in, even if it's a weird picture, like some people I know.
It's not a weird picture. That's a picture from my graduation. It's like the nicest picture of me in a suit that I have.
Some, okay, well, who was it then that has a profile picture that is like not them?
That's not them?
It's somebody that we know. I thought it was you the other day. Mm-mm. Because we was talking about the YouTube profile pictures and it wasn't them. It was like I don't know who it was.
No, that's
maybe
on my Google account.
If I see it, I'll point it out and be like, so if I stop and be like, that's the one, you'll know who it is.
We'll know who it is. See, but we got Hannah on. She says, welcome Evangelist Jonathan, saying hey to him in the comments. We got Serena saying praise God. Tabitha says, hello everyone. Hello, Tabitha. Marky says, I didn't know there was a Jersey Shore. I said Jersey Shore, didn't I? Jersey Shore, Pennsylvania. That doesn't make sense. Yeah, that doesn't really make sense considering that
it's very far away from Jersey. Is it legit? Like, is that the real legit Jersey Shore?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. That's not like situation Jersey Shore. That's like...
What?
Middle of the...
What are you talking about, situation Jersey
Wasn't
Shore?
Wasn't that a character on Jersey Shore? I never watched Jersey Shore.
I don't know.
I don't even know what Jersey Shore... I thought it was a TV show. I could be completely wrong. Let's see. Courtney... Okay, Barrett says it was a TV show. Courtney Freitas says, I changed mine. She did change hers. I don't remember what it used to be. I think it was a selfie. But now...
I think it was a picture of her and Steven. And now she's got a picture of... Some kind of aircraft. Is that an F-35 or is that a 22 Raptor?
F-22 Raptor. Ooh, I like those. Jennifer Lopez says it was Seth. Said Seth had a picture of something that wasn't him.
Yes, it was Seth.
I thought it was
You're
a picture.
Correct.
I thought he had one of him in like a cowboy hat or something. It was black and
nope,
white.
Nope, that's not it.
Okay. Matthew
so what's,
says, yeah. Matthew
what's
said
the
Seth.
Question?
Guys,
I have a very odd
almost
question.
Almost said Seth. Marky had an excellent question for us today. Skylar says, hey, Skylar.
Oh, the pot is about to get stirred.
Oh, boy. So Marky wanted to ask, Marky, correct me if I get it wrong. She wanted to ask if you guys, I completely blanked on it. What is it? Does anybody not set an alarm in the mornings? Do you guys just wake up, just go, you go to bed and you're so in sync with like your circadian rhythm and stuff that you wake up on time every day? Or do you guys actually have to set an alarm? And second question to that, do you guys set an alarm every night or do you have like a sleep schedule in your phone that wakes you up every day?
I definitely have a sleep schedule, but I turn that off. And honestly, one of my favorite things to do is Danielle despises this. Mm-hmm. She wants the room like pitch black dark at all times.
Yeah.
Like me, I don't necessarily like the alarm to wake me up, but one of the things that that I do when she's not home, I open up the curtains and all of that and the blinds, and when the sun comes up, I wake up. Hmm. And it's so much better than, you know.
Nice.
Becca, have you seen the studies they're doing? Like, you can get this app now, and that app tells you the time that you need to go to bed based upon your body and your perfect wake up. So it's perfect go to bedtime and a perfect wake up time.
That's interesting. No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's on there. I did it, then I started. I was looking at it and I was going to be like, I'm going to try it. And then I realized I'm not going to stick to that schedule.
Nope.
So I just said, forget it.
All right, let's see. Matthew says, no alarm required. Matthew, that is really, with as early as you get up in the morning, Matthew comes and like is physically in person for prayer in the morning. That is neat. Courtney says, my alarm is my husband's 3, 4, and 6 a.m. alarm. Wow. Ms. Nancy Gerner says, I never set an alarm and wake up at 6 a.m. every day. We go to bed at 10 p.m. That's another good point. That's another good part of this question. Do you guys go to bed every day at the same time? Because for me, it's like, okay, I'm going to go to bed at 8:30 or like 8:45 one day, and then I'm having to be up and later, and it's like 9:45, 10 o'clock before I'm getting to bed.
Stop. Look at Jake's comment.
Jake says, I have a Pavlok wrist. You sleep with a watch on? I have a Pavlok wristwatch that shocks me. You have a shock collar wristwatch that wakes you up in the morning.
Okay.
That's...
My wife needs this. Because...
Sorry, I'm not laughing.
I
apologize, Pastor Daniel. No, this has nothing to do with...
So let me explain to you. This is what my life is like. Mm-hmm. All right? Danielle sets an alarm for the alarm for the alarm for the alarm.
Ah, so she's like that.
So if she has to wake up, let's say she has to be at work at 7. Her alarms start at 5:15. Hmm. And one goes off. And then another one goes off.
What's the split between them?
15 minutes.
Okay, that's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
Barrett, how big is the split between yours? Like a minute or 2 minutes? You set one for 5. So 2 minutes. Barrett's split is 2 minutes. It's what time is your first alarm? Barrett's going to show
Yes, I know she said, she says I need that. Yes, she does need that.
Huh, look at this. Barrett's alarms are 4 a.m., 4:02, 4:05, 4:07, 4:08, 4:10, 4:11, 4:15, 4:18, 4:20, 4:22. Explain the why?
Yeah.
Because you need them all to get up in the morning. Is that it? I don't remember the why. You explained this to me the other day.
Evangelist Jonathan said, going to bed at between 8 and 9 p.m. is absolutely impossible for an evangelist. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I cannot tell you the last time I went to bed that early. Obviously, I'm not a pastor, but and I don't go do revivals like that, but like traveling around the world. But I don't know when I'm going to sleep. Yep. If you was to ask me what time I'm going to get in bed by, I don't know, whenever I go to sleep. Yeah. Like, there's been times I went to go to sleep, and the Lord was like, hey, you want to spend some time with me? Sure! And then I'm up to 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I sleep like a baby for 4 hours, and then it's wonderful.
And then you're good.
And then I'm good. But yeah. I don't have a certain necessarily schedule, and that's also, too, but the other side of that, this is the reason why. Mm-hmm. I still have enough of the Marine Corps discipline in me. I can sleep anywhere. I can get to sleep very quickly. And I can wake up and be ready to go very quickly.
I can attest to this.
Danielle despises that. But like literally, I can be sitting there. If I lay down, I can be out. Yep. And it doesn't matter where I'm at. I have slept, and this is not an exaggeration, in like 101 degree heat. Yep. And just, I'm out, sleep. But then everybody was like, all right, ruck up, it's time to go. And I wake up, get my stuff, and I'm out. Not an issue.
Interesting.
And I sleep, I will say this, I sleep better outside than I do inside.
Really? So camping must be fun for you.
No, I despise camping.
See, Pastor Danielle says, oh, Pastor Danielle's chiming in. It's time to see the other side of the coin. She says, each alarm has a purpose. Each one is, oh, and it's gone.
No shit, no, there is no says, purpose.
Each one
there.
Is a gentle nudge to let me know it's almost time. Okay.
No.
I mean this in the most loving way possible. Why do you have alarms if you're not going to wake up? Why are they alarms for your alarms telling you that the real one is then going to come up in a minute? Sometimes, okay, I'll do that sometimes if I have to be up.
Let me explain.
I set an alarm for 4:30. My alarm for 4:30 is my wake-up call. If I am not up and out of the bed at like 4:32, it's not good. So I set that alarm, and when it goes off, I get up and throw myself out of the bed. If I am like exhausted when I wake up, I have a backup at 4:45. I'll give myself 15 minutes worth of like, okay, sure, I'll snooze a little bit. But at 4:45, I have to be out of the bed. Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. I'll have like a little buffer zone just in case. This disappoints you.
I'm being very quiet right now.
Okay, I'm going to read comments instead.
There's... The alarm is meant to wake you up so you can go.
Yes.
So... I look at it like this. When that alarm goes off,
you're up.
It's time to get up because yep. I'm naturally going to be like, okay, if I have to, like, say for instance, we have to be in at the office at 9 o'clock. So with my kids, I set an alarm for 7:10.
Okay.
All right. 7:10 goes up. I get up. I wake them up. I start doing the stuff that I need to do. My other alarm goes off at 7:35.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That means get the kids, walk out the door, because it's time to get them to school.
Yep.
Right? I'm not going to set an alarm to tell me there's an alarm time coming. There's an alarm coming that I need to listen to.
When you put it that way.
That you're literally setting an alarm
to say
that you have an alarm that you need to listen to that's coming up.
We're going to go to Barrett on the green screen for her take. Here she is.
Hi, guys. Balance.
Ooh,
also, so sorry for this like Caspery shirt that I'm wearing right now. But no, so totally valid. I do think for people who have like a harder time, that's a bad confession, that have had opportunity sleeping and like being really, really heavy sleepers as they are overcoming that. Like, genuinely, that's what's up with mine right now. As I'm, like, currently changing my daily method of operations, I have so many alarms set because I'm such a heavy sleeper that it has not been difficult for me to sleep through alarms. But I'm purposing to train myself to get up at a certain time. So in order to ensure that I wake up and don't just hit the snooze button in my sleep, fail-safe systems are I found to be super helpful. And different people work different ways. So absolutely, we should work to get up at a right time. But different people are different all at the same time. And Pastor Danielle also brings up a balance, too.
No, I don't like to be yelled at in the morning. Whatever she's saying is invalid.
She says, I don't like to be yelled at in the morning. I enjoy a gentle nudge.
Okay, let me explain this.
I don't need a scream. So she's the difference between a gentle, like, chime versus a that's what she's saying. I understand that. It's gentle. It's pleasant to you. You wake up happier that way.
There's a couple of comments that are absolutely hilarious.
Yes, they are.
But I'm going to address. We need to go to declarations.
We do.
But Danielle, your comment is invalid.
So we're not going to.
I love
them.
You, but no. So here's the deal with Danielle. Because she does not do well when it's the... This is what I've... We've been married for 12 years, okay? This is what happens when Danielle has the gentle nudges, right? Okay. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
She wakes up singing them and goes back to sleep. She'll literally... It'll start playing. She's singing it. She goes over there and hits that and goes... And we're right back to sleep. While she's singing... What the melody, the harmony, or whatever it is, she'll match it while she's sleeping. I have watched her. I used to have a recording of it. I have watched her singing it, look at her phone, hit stop, lay it back down while singing and go back to sleep. Didn't miss a beat, that kind of stuff. Finally, I woke her up and she goes, I never even knew it went off. because she was singing it the whole time. But when it's like the wah, 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 she gets up and she moves and she operates. So, can we go read some of the other ones real quick?
Okay, well, Skylar says, this just in, Pastor Zach yells in the morning.
No, I don't.
I don't know why you capitalized that, but okay. Let's see. Joni says this topic seems almost as opportunistic as the Mayo conversation. That Mayo conversation was very interesting.
We did get the 100th comment.
Let's go away.
You should read.
Evangelist. I totally should. Evangelist Jonathan says, legend says Pastor Zach's wife kicks him out of the house often. That's why he sleeps outside. That's what
that was good.
It was such a good timing for us to go to Barrett right then because we were both cracking up at that. And
Courtney Freitas.
Yes.
You got the, I'm sorry, Freitas.
Fritos?
I do it on purpose.
Courtney Freitas.
No, it's not Fritos. It's Freitas.
It's Freitas?
It's not really it.
She doesn't have the phonetic spelling anymore, so.
But I'm intentionally doing it wrong.
Well, yeah.
So she got the 100th comment. You can go to whatsright.com/gift in order to get your gift, or you can just scan that QR code there, screenshot it, however you want to do it.
Yep.
But congratulations, you are the 100th commenter for today. This has been Family Chat. We are going to turn it over to Barrett as she declares the word of God. Bye, guys.
Hey guys, before we hop into What's the Word, want to let you guys know Brother Brian is going to be here on the broadcast today. That is the plan. So make sure that you share the broadcast. Today we're going to be talking about God never meant for you to do life alone. The importance of fellowship in family. It's going to be such an awesome broadcast. So excited. One of our favorite topics here in the ministry. So make sure that you share the broadcast. It's going to be great. And Brother Brian will be here so soon. But right now, what we're going to do is we are going to hop into the Word. No, we're not. I'm so sorry. We're about to declare the Word of God. I got distracted by the set over there. We're about to declare the Word of God over our lives. And here's what we know to be true. God's Word can't fail. What we assign and attach our faith for the Word to do, God's Word promises that when we send the Word, it will accomplish what we send it to accomplish. It can't return to us void. The Word is too full of life. It's too full of power. It's filled with God Himself. And when we send the Word, it accomplishes what we send it to do. So when we are decreeing these things over our lives, over the ministry, our partner ministries, the people that we have come into covenant with, we are believing that God's Word is being established today in the lives of every single person that's connected to this vine. God is faithful. God is true. His Word cannot lie. God cannot be found a liar. Hope in God cannot disappoint. God is faithful. Faithful, overwhelmingly, abundantly, all the time faithful in His Word works. Put that in the comments right now. God's Word works for me. Let's make it personal today as we decree these things. God's Word is working and it's working for me. Now let's put up our daily declaration. This is what we say each Tuesday that we're here on the broadcast. This is what we're believing to see manifesting today. So let's say this together. Join our faith with one voice. We have divine health in our bodies now, and we carry an anointing for supernatural healing. Divine health, it's ours now. It's in our bodies. It's in operation. Not only is it in me, it's coming out of me. I carry an anointing for supernatural healing. And today I'm walking in it now in the name of Jesus. And then our daily declaration. This is something that the Lord spoke to Pastor Brian at the beginning of this year, actually before the year even started. He told us what this year was going to contain. This is the vision that God has given to us for 2025. And if you're connected to this ministry, if you're a partner with this ministry, this word is alive in your life too. as we have Evangelist Jonathan, who's on right now, as we have Hope City, who's on right now, as you're connected to this ministry, what's alive in us is alive in you. What's alive in this ministry is alive in your ministry. What's alive in us is alive in your lives, in your marriages, your families, your children. This is happening now for us. This is our year of the fire. Now, Lord, today, over this broadcast, over every operation of this ministry, over our partners, the ministry partners, the ambassadors, the saints of God that are connected to this vine, we declare fire of God be in their lives now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, today, on this broadcast, we ask, let there be a tangible anointing today. Let there be a fire of God today. Let there be such a flow of the anointing that the fire of God comes into people's homes. It goes to people's workplaces. It goes where they are. We send the word and it heals them now in the name of Jesus. We command for the healing power of God to be in people's bodies. Where there were opportunities, where there were symptoms, we send the word now and healing comes in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise, all the glory. You alone are able to be glorified here today through what you're doing in this great congregation of the saints on this broadcast. Your will be and be done now in the name of Jesus. Amen. We love y'all so much. We're about to hop into the word. And again, Brother Brian, Pastor Brian is going to be here for the word today. So don't go anywhere. Share the broadcast. We're about to hop into God, never meant for you to do life alone. And we're excited. So we'll see you over there right now.
What's the word? Well, the word today is God never meant for you to do life alone, the importance of family, the importance of fellowship. Pastor Brian will be here in just a moment, but before he gets here, before we get started, we want to say hi to you. Let us know who is on. If you comment, that lets us see you. It's not like how Facebook used to be where like you just hop on and it just says, this person's watching.
Wow, that's a flashback.
I know, it is a flashback. Wow. But people do Facebook Live actually a good bit still. So just so you know, with YouTube, in order for us to see you and be able to say hi, you have to comment. So say hi, let us know who's on, where are you watching from. It's always fun to see where everyone's watching from. We usually have some people from all over here, but then sometimes we have people watching from Africa, from the Philippines, from all over. So we want to say hi to you. This is awesome. I see a lot of comments. Okay, I see Jake says, hi, Marky. I must have missed you Sunday. I think I saw you on the front row for a second. But yes, so it's good to see you. Hannah says, hi from Stanfield. Pastor Danielle says, hey, from Albemarle. It's nice to have you here in Albemarle. Skylar says, I'm here. Pastor Zach says, commenting so y'all know I'm here and basically right in front of y'all. He's right there. So also, if you ever wondered, what is the studio like? We want you guys to come see it. We love having a studio audience. But anyway, I've been talking for like 30 seconds,
You're welcome to keep going straight.
And the next comment
I like it. That's a good tone.
Evangelist Jonathan, he says, blessings, Skylar. Gerald says he's watching from High Rock Lake. Good to see you. There were other ones. They're gone now. If you want to, you can say it again. And then we can see it again. Maybe this time we'll catch it. So it's like a fun game. Are we going to see it? I don't know. Try again. Did we reach our 100th comment?
I think William gave it already.
Did you? Okay, good job, guys. Every day we give away a gift card. So apparently we already gave that away. And yes, hello, everybody. Gerald says Lexington. I don't know. Are you watching? I'm not sure. It almost looks like you're watching from multiple places. I don't think that's what you mean, though. but anyway, yeah. Good to have you guys on. Again, keep commenting again, and maybe we'll say hi this time.
So Brother Brian's on his way in. He'll be here in just a few minutes, so don't go anywhere. We didn't, like, you know, gaslight you into thinking he was coming and he's not here. He's on his way in. He'll be here in just a moment. But truly, one of the things that's awesome for our just broadcasting in general here on YouTube is the more engagement there is. Like, we don't just ask you to comment just for, like, kicks and giggles. I mean, we love you. But part of it is, like, it's twofold. Number one, you have a supply of faith, hope, and love. In the same way on Sunday morning when we assemble together and I carry my supply of faith, hope, and love into the congregation and the flow of the anointing, like, I can place a demand on the flow of the anointing. Even though you may not be watching physically here in the studio, your supply of faith, hope, and love, it impacts the flow of the anointing and what is released through the word of God. So as you're bringing that supply of faith, hope, and love, continue to comment those things because it makes a difference in what the Lord is able to pour out. You matter. What you're bringing to the table today, what you're bringing to this broadcast today, your supply matters. And it's integral to what is released through the word. Mm-hmm. But then the second aspect of it that's also important is we are using this broadcasting platform of YouTube to get the gospel to the world. And we have been given a word and a vision by God to stream now twice a day here on YouTube, once at 6 a.m. for Frontlines Prayer, once at noon here, both Eastern Standard Time. And we are reaching the masses through YouTube. And your comments, the liking of the videos, sharing them, what that does is it tells YouTube, hey, there's something going on in this channel. There's something going on this word. There's something that the world needs to hear and needs to see. And as you have found value in this broadcast and you found value in this ministry, a simple like, a simple subscribe, commenting throughout, it truly makes a difference with how this particular app advertises this ministry, for lack of better words. We're not in it for glory though of ourselves. The word tells us that in the multitude is the king's glory. Mm-hmm. In the dearth is a prince's ruin. So truly there is glory when the testimony of God's goodness is able to be heard by the masses. And we live in a world that's searching for what we have. It's searching for what we found. You know, the trip that evangelist Jonathan's taking to Colombia, he's not doing that just for a vacation. Like, that's not vacation time for him. That's him going and preaching the word of God because he's found something that he needs to minister across the world. We've found something that's worth sharing and commenting and liking. So today, as you engage, recognize you're impacting what the Lord is doing here on the word, and you are impacting our ability to get the good news to the world through this broadcasting that we're doing. So thank y'all for being partners with this ministry, and thank y'all for what you're bringing into this supply today. Talking about God never meant for you to do life alone. We were never meant to broadcast alone. Like, otherwise, Pastor Marky, myself, we could just talk in the conference room. We wouldn't need cameras. But there's a reason that we assemble together. And so you assembling today, it's going to be a phenomenal day. Get ready. Get expectant. Put on that expectation. God's got a good supply for us today. And just put it in the comments. Declare it right now. Yeah. God has something good for me today, and I'm going to receive every bit of it. God's got something good for me today, right now, and I'm going to receive every bit of what's available for me. It's a good day here on this broadcast. You picked a good day to hop on. It's going to be awesome. Brother Brian just walked in. He's about to sit down and mic up. So again, share the broadcast. Let people know we're about to go live with this topic today, and so excited to see y'all. Pastor Danielle says, amen. Those who seek him, find him. Testimonies just overflow from us. They do, because in the presence of God, there is so much life to be found. And where we are assembled together today in the praises of his people and this expectation, God is able to do mighty things today for those who are hungering after him. It's going to be an awesome day. So excited that y'all are here. I didn't want to hop into the word because I knew Brother Brian or Pastor Brian had it. So let's get ready to head over with Pastor Brian right now. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's head there.
Amen.
Hello. Welcome. So glad y'all are here.
Good afternoon.
Amen. Family. Yes. It's awesome.
I'm so excited. It's one of my favorite topics.
Well, it's a really good one. There's a lot about this subject, but I think a lot of times that people don't realize how important it is and how big it is. And so today we're talking about how important family is in our walk with God, how special it is and how much we actually need it. But we're also going to take a look at how many times people miss it, because a lot of times people don't know that they need that. And let's turn first to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Galatians 3 and verse 8. And this is something that a lot of people actually, I think, have missed. Hey, Jonathan, good to see you, Evangelist Jonathan Osteen. Mm-hmm. We love you. So good to see you. He said the man of God himself.
He's gone through the whole thing.
Has he? Oh, that's awesome. So let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. And one of the things that you're going to see, if you would, go ahead and read that.
The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you.
So now, just looking at this verse, can the nations... Now, God declared this is how it's going to be. God declared this is how the good news and the blessing of God is going to reach the people groups and the nations. Can they be blessed without it coming through another human being? No. He's declared this is a way, they can get it straight from God.
Yes.
But he declared in this verse that they're not going to have the fullness of the blessing without it coming through other people. And so you can see the good news of the gospel itself declares that your blessing is attached through other people. Many times I found myself, when the Lord started talking to me about this, I found myself constantly like looking up to God and looking for what I needed straight from him, but I didn't realize that he would be actually, let put it back on the other camera, please. I didn't realize that he would actually be flowing through somebody else.
Yes, sir.
Right? And a vast majority of the blessings, the revelation, the overflow in my life came through other people. So I'm thinking, just me and you, God, we can do it, you know? Yeah. And I didn't realize I was missing most of his plan.
Yeah.
In that way, because his plan was not just about me and him alone. It was a partnership through me, through other people, to other people. There's this whole intermingling of the blessing of God and the good news of God, and it revolves around other people,
yes, sir.
Right? And so when I saw that, I started to realize that I need people. I need people, and people need me. I need to be present. I need them present in my life.
Yes.
This is how God designed it to work. It will not work without that.
Yes.
And so when I realized that, everything changed. And I remember there was a one time I was working at a restaurant. And in that restaurant, we were doing something like anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 a month in business in this restaurant. This is back in the 90s. And so we were doing somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 a month. When I'd go into work, watch this, I would long to go into work. Why? Because all my family was there.
Yeah.
All my friends were there.
Yeah.
I liked hanging out with them. We would actually go do things together during the day. We would go work at night. And then after work, we'd go do other stuff together, right? This was not, you know, the most holy time of my life. So we're not talking about spiritual people.
Yeah.
We're just talking about worldly people with worldly results. And we were doing about 10,000 to 15,000 a month. I think the average was about 12,000 a month that we would do in business. Worldly people without the spiritual blessing of God on them. But we enjoyed each other. We looked forward to being around each other because they were our family. Actually, if I didn't go into work, I kind of felt like something was missing.
Yeah.
We were friends. We were family. Now, the manager there, he would actually allow the people to have fun while they were working. He would encourage family. He was still in charge, but he was kind of like, you know, Pop or something. You know, he was kind of like the dad of the place.
Yeah.
But he would allow that family to operate, and the business was booming. And then later on, I got promoted, and I was an assistant manager of that same store. And they had a different manager. That manager had left, and they hired a different manager. And this manager was leading by the rank on their collar. This manager was sitting there, and they were not. They did not believe in family. It was very corrective, very disciplinarian, very authoritative. You're going to do what I said to do. And partially because the manager had a low self-esteem, and people didn't listen to them like they did to the last manager, right? Well, of course not. That guy was family. You're not family. That allowed, it kind of snowballed downhill. And I remember looking at the reports, knowing what they used to be, and we were doing somewhere between 5 and 7,000 a month.
Wow.
So you're looking at half the business,
yeah,
and a lot of it, I mean a lot of it had to do with just the family atmosphere. The difference was this. When people answered the phone to take orders, and it would be, they would say, "Hey, how you doing? You know, welcome to this restaurant." And they were happy and family. But once the new manager, they're like, "Hey, welcome to this restaurant," right? People didn't want to buy back from that. They didn't want to come back to that. It had an effect in everything. People would show up on time. They'd get their job done. If somebody was slack on something, other people would come in. But when this other manager came in and didn't have family, all of a sudden, they all backed off of it. And so I learned that family is super, super important. Years later, I look back at that example. The Lord showed it to me, and I went, "Oh my goodness, how important is this that you actually have a relationship, you have a partnership, you have communication, what we call in the leadership training CPR, right? Communication, partnership, and relationship. You need all three of those things for that family atmosphere to be there. And when you do it, it's productive, right? Amen. Well, go ahead. That was my intro.
Well, as you're talking about that, I am so thankful for this subject, because without an understanding of this, in my opinion, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, in my opinion, you can never be an effective minister. Because family, that is covenant. Like, God is looking to expand his covenant family.
Yes.
So as a minister, as an ambassador on this earth, we're all called to be ministers. We've been gifted with the ministry of reconciliation. So without this teaching and understanding, I've watched so many ministers, I've done it myself, where there's a gap between us and the people. And like those that don't yet know Jesus, I'm above them. I know so much more than them. I'm so much better than they are. And they need saving. And to a degree, there's some accuracy in that. I have a revelation of who God is. I have a revelation of the fact of what they can be saved from.
Yeah.
But instead of, like, I used to think so hierarchical, whatever. I used to think in levels. And he's... The four-syllable word, it choked.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it. It was a good effort.
I used to think in levels. and my level as a minister was, I'm up here, others are here, we're all about the tasks. With this revelation of family, the levels, they don't really matter. Like, they do, but they don't. It starts truly becoming about loving on people.
Yeah.
Family. Yeah. I'm not going into my own family environment and thinking, George is above me, I am below him, we're both above Caroline, and this is how we need to operate. We serve each other. Family serves each other. Family goes through things together.
Yeah, that's right.
Family gets in the mud with one another and helps lift up the needs of the people. You go and family serves.
Yeah.
And that's what this is it's an environment of servanthood, and that's the kingdom.
Yeah.
And without this piece, there's so much lacking in true effective ministry, I believe.
Rick Renner was teaching on one of the verses talking about what a minister actually does. And, you know, we're going to read a verse. Actually, if you'll go to Matthew 12, 46 through 50, and I'm going to show you this. But Rick actually pointed this point out. He said that when you minister, it is not like speaking down to people. It's actually you personally come up underneath them and lift them up.
Yes.
And he was showing how the biblical verses show that, especially in diagnosing this one verse talking about ministers. And he was showing how they lift up the people. In other words, they get down in the mud with them and lift them up in that way. And look at this, because when we're looking at spiritual family, you have to see this, is that I am a very big proponent of family, like blood family. Mm-hmm. Huge proponent of that. Like, my family means a ton to me. I'm not just talking about my immediate family, I'm talking about my extended family as well. But I know that spiritual family also means something. Now watch this, is that I'm connected to my physical family through blood, right? But I'm connected to my spiritual family through blood as well.
Yes.
I have the blood of Christ, which to me is even stronger than the blood running through my veins, is the blood of Christ. And so you'll see here, let's read these verses. This is Matthew 12, was it 46 through the end of the chapter? I think it's 50. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Someone said,
his physical family of fleshly blood. All right, go ahead.
Someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, behold my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother.
Yeah.
Now, notice here that if anybody had an authority to do this and could do this, Jesus could have said, he could have said, oh, my mothers and brothers, y'all hold on, let me go outside and talk to them. But he didn't do it. He actually esteemed the spiritual family over his physical family. Well, that tells us a lot, because he only did what he saw God doing. Now, understand, your physical family can operate as your spiritual family.
Yes.
But that's up to them, right? In other words, we have family members that haven't grown a lick in Christ in all the time that we've known them, right? Then we have family members that have, and we will hang out with them. We will talk with them. In other words, your physical family can come up to that level. That's their choice.
Yeah.
But I'm not to throw away spiritual family because my physical family is putting pressure on me.
Yes.
Now, Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. Now, I'm not supposed to throw away my physical family completely either. There's a love and a respect and an honor. You know, in other words, you could have a complete spiritual family, but your parents don't go after God at all. That does not cancel out honor your mother and father, right? Your father and mother, that it may go well with you. I'm mixing two verses, that you may have long life, right? He says you need to honor them and esteem them. So you don't just throw them away either. But here's the other thing. Jesus only said what he heard the Father say. So he's hearing the Father say there is a spiritual family to be esteemed, number one. Number two, Jesus could have easily said, behold, these are my sons and daughters. Could he not?
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't see them as that. He saw them as brothers and mother, right? In other words, he subjected himself to serving them. He could have said, these are my sons and daughters because I'm their spiritual father in this way. But that's not what he did. He said, these are my brothers. This is my mother.
Yeah.
All right. And so he, in other words, he did exactly what you're saying. He took that place of serving them and lifting them up. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not rank.
Sure.
It's an interesting thing because you can have a minister that needs to see others as the ones that he lifts up, the brothers, the sisters, the mothers in Christ. These are my spiritual family. Watch. That I am a part of.
Mm-hmm.
This is where many ministers miss it because the Lord showed me this some years ago. They saw themselves, and I did this. I saw myself on a platform, and I saw everybody else here, and I knew I had revelation, and I knew that I had knew more and was operating higher.
Yeah.
And so I saw the two different levels, and I spoke down to people, right, in that way. And it's not that what I was saying was wrong. Mm-hmm. It's how I was saying it and from that condescending place,
yeah,
speaking down. I needed to see, hey, this is my family. And as a minister, I had to understand that I'm not apart from them. Not like I'm doing the heavenly work and you're just trying to catch up, right? No, I'm not a part. I'm a part of them, right?
Yes.
I'm not apart and separated. I'm integrated.
Yes.
It is. They are integral in my life. As it goes with them, it goes with me.
Yes.
Like I can just tell you, when the body of Christ here and our partners come under attack, I come under attack.
Yeah.
And this, now you see this in Jesus when he talks to the Apostle Paul, and he says, why are you? What's the word he uses? Not crucifying, but when he meets him on the road to Damascus. And why are you persecuting me,
mm-hmm,
right? Why are you persecuting me? Now, Jesus is in heaven, been in heaven for quite some time. But he said, Paul, you're persecuting me.
Yes.
Now, was that Jesus on one level and the people that Paul was affecting on another level? No, that was there. But should they honor the Lord? Should he be Lord? So there's this balance between a minister understanding their role and position, but also serving as an integral part.
Yes.
And there's the balance of the disciple receiving the brother, but still honoring the rank, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you need both, actually, because some people would say you only have one, some people would say you only have the other. You actually need both,
yes,
in that way. Yeah. And so when you get into the power of family, you'll see that in order to have it, you have to first recognize your spiritual family, honor and esteem them, be a part of them, but then also fulfill your role and your rank inside of there without crossing,
yeah,
and breaking up that integration with them.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, and there's, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the really interesting dynamic that we have here, just as an example, in the ministry of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Within our own staff here in this ministry, we have those that are currently separated into a fivefold office. We have those that it would appear are likely like called to be separated at some point. We have those that the Lord hasn't super like spoken to yet, like about what that looks like just yet, but we're all working together. And I've watched over time when we've been so focused on label and so focused on trying to be perfect, we've missed a flow of the anointing that comes from just being. And the Lord is faithful to teach us how to honor effectively when we just get into Him and we just allow ourselves to be. Like, that's one of the biggest things that Pastor Brian, Pastor Nicole have taught me. I know that it's the same for Marky, and Marky can share for herself too. But over the years, I tried so much to be seen, and I tried so much to validate my own self. Like, I was a part of our leadership team here at the church in my early 20s, and everyone else on the team was at least in their late 30s, 40s, you know, some 50s, and I'm there feeling inadequate. So I, in an effort to be taken seriously, I would pretend like I knew all of these things and pretend like I had all these same shared experiences. And the reality was, the more I tried to put on a front, and the more I tried to be esteemed, and the more I tried to convince others of my worth, instead of simply being, I was holding them at arm's length. I was keeping away from myself a supply of the anointing that I needed, and I was actually causing myself to be, I was in pride. And God opposes pride. So there was no effective flow of fruit out of me. There was no effective grace of God into me, because I, in my pride and fear of being seen, was trying in my own efforts to get the very thing that God had lavished on a table before me. And praise God for his mercy. And through the teaching of pastors, they taught me how to be. And I still have to work on it. Like, I still have to put effort into this to not put on a front. But in just being and relaxing in the family of God, he is able to bring a unity and to bring a flow of the anointing. And now within our staff, circling all the way back to where I started from, within our staff, we have all these different people, all these different giftings, all these different talents. And instead of getting locked down by titles and restrictions that man puts on oneself, there's able to just be a flow and just be a banter and just be free with one another. And if we accidentally miss it and say something accidentally, like too common toward Pastor Zach as a pastor, the Lord will correct us. And if he there's so much freedom when we stop trying. And we just simply are. And we just simply allow him to flow in us.
Yeah. Well, and I think we've had this, I know for myself, like I've had this down somewhat fine with pastors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But where it's been the most challenging, and Pastor knows this more than anyone, where it's been the most challenging has been with the rest of the body. Like what you're talking about with the staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, I was even talking to Pastor, and I don't mind putting myself on the line, but I was talking to Pastor Brian about this recently, is really, for me, the biggest thing has been the biggest stumbling block of not having that family with everybody, and that unity has been not seeing my value in Christ to the point, not by not having that, I was striving, even just subconsciously, striving for authority and significance, because in my head, authority and significance were tied together. So I was trying to get more authority and position and giftings, more giftings, more just because I felt like if someone else was more gifted than I was, then like I must be less valuable or different things like that. But what's been really awesome, like thankful for the Lord and his mercy, is as the Lord's helped me to get out of that thinking, there's been a grace of God that has flowed in relationships so differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Barrett and I have spent so much time together at the ministry the past few years. And there have been times where I've done it better and times where I've not done it well. And when I've not done it well, there's not been a grace flowing in the teams that we're on.
Sure.
When I have, what can start to happen is if you are in a position where you're jealous of other people's position or their giftings or anything, what can happen is subconsciously you start to despise them.
Yeah.
And you start to get your heart hardened. And then not only do you not receive the grace of God, you don't receive the grace of God through that relationship, that God's not able to flow through it, you're not receiving family. Mm-hmm. And there's not much fruit in that. Like, it stops the fruit. When we've been the most fruitful in our work together in the ministry, getting things accomplished, has been when that fellowship has been right, mm-hmm. because the identity has been right.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as my identity has been off, then it, the whole relationship has been off. And that, but that, that's not just like a, oh, like we just want to be cute and have a good relationship. Like, no, it literally will cut off fruitfulness in the ministry. Like, it's not something small. It's a huge deal. That's it. What's coming in is strife. And when there's strife, there's not unity. There's not the blessing. And it's not good. It's not something to play with. So that's why, for me, like I was mentioning, and I'm still working on it, not allowing that old mindset of my identity is not found in my position. It's found in who I am in Christ.
Yeah. Well, your identity is not found in the description of your role.
Yes.
But it's found in the I will say position the position of righteousness.
A righteousness, not the position, not a natural position,
yes.
But a spiritual position.
Yeah, and I just didn't, I knew you knew what you were saying, but I didn't want anybody to be confused by that.
Thank you.
Listen to this, because here's the thing. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the benefits of family or the benefits of fellowship. We're going to talk specifically about several verses that show some different benefits, right? But let me read this. So Deb, who's been with the church for quite some time, was reading a book, I believe for work, doing some study for it, and she came across this passage. Now, if you don't know this, several years ago, we were attempting to solve a problem, and Buddy, it started with the whole church, but Buddy identified it and came and asked me a question. Right, and this goes back to the need for family. He could have sat there and tried to solve it all on his own, but he reached out to his spiritual dad and his pastor, and he asked the question, hey, how do I solve this? What do I do? I was like, that's a great question. Now, understand this. When he operated in submission to ask that question, I could try to answer this by myself, but I shouldn't because I have spiritual family.
Yes.
Right? I shouldn't, because I have an anointing I can tap into and receive when I humble myself to God's way of my pastor, then grace and greater grace will be released. Or humble yourself to that life group leader, right? Then grace will be released. Listen, I personally have been seeking to answer this question for years. Mm-hmm. But when Buddy brought it to me, it unlocked grace in me to answer the question. You see the beauty of God's brilliance there. So when he humbled himself and submitted himself, that I started all of a sudden, when he asked that question, the grace of God met his humility to ask, it met his submission to family, right? Met his faith in what the family brings to the table. And grace and greater grace started flowing. And the answer that came out was, how, when we know that the gospel and the power of God and the moving of the Holy Ghost is supernatural and looks foolish to the world, how do you actually evangelize a world that thinks it's foolish?
Yeah.
That it looks stupid to them. How do you evangelize them? And ultimately, they have to have a heart change, but many people have been taught so much by the world, they'll have a heart change, but not a habit change.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you change the habits? And ultimately, without going all the way through it, is the thing that people need is family. They will hold on to things that they don't understand when they have the connection of family. And so we literally had a whole year where all we talked about throughout the year, like embedded into every message, was family, 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 and how much we actually needed that family.
Yeah.
And we talked about we're going to have family events, and this is the time to invite people that don't go to church or don't go to life group. They need that connection to family. They need to know, okay, these people are asking me to believe in something that I think is weird, but they're good people, and I think they love me, and they actually do have a head on their shoulders. They're not just being weird. They need to see that I need to look at what they're asking. I need to look at what they're talking about.
Yes.
And we saw an instantaneous change in that.
Yes.
All right. Now, Deb was reading a book for work, and we saw that. We knew this was an answer from the Lord. Then Deb was reading a book. Let me just read you this one passage. I would quote the book if I knew what it was. I just have a screenshot of it. So it says, Google internally launched a massive research study called Project Aristotle in a quest to find the characteristics of the highest performing teams. It uncovered that the number one indicator of a high-performing, innovative team is the degree of psychological safety felt within the team.
Yeah.
This is an academic way of saying interpersonal trust. That trust and sense of safety develops largely through social and personal connections. Family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the more social and personal connections a group of people will develop, and watch this, take the time to develop.
Mm-hmm.
Take the time to develop. And think about this. How many people, like, you'd rather just go home and sit and not spend awkward social moments with people? Like, that's the majority of people that they've been taught today, right? They've been taught to do that.
Like my flesh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I like, let me just go be alone. No, I don't want to talk to you. I love you. I want to go home, right? But when you understand that God's way is family, then what you need is to actually purpose yourself
yeah.
to do those uncomfortable things
yeah.
because you need family.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need. Let me read you this verse. This is in the New Living. And this is Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Let me just read you this from the Word. All right. Two people are, just listen. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble.
Yeah.
Someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Now, they can help each other. They can back up each other. They can. So family is insurance, but family has to be invested in. Like, why is it, think about this, why is it that the foxhole syndrome, when two guys are in a foxhole, they make it through the war and they're buddies forever? And nobody will be able really to come between them in a general sense. Nobody's going to be able to separate, and nobody will be able to be closer,
yeah.
really, than that guy. Why? Because they went through something together.
Yes.
There was a personal going through that happened. There was personal time. Now, I guarantee you, if you'd have left them alone, they would have never been in that foxhole.
Yeah.
They would have not stayed. They would have been at home, but they were forced to. By the draft or war, they made themselves stay there because they had to.
Yes.
But if they had had a choice, they wouldn't have done it. But the outcome of them having that forced time together forms a bond that's so strong that almost nobody can break it apart. And if they needed each other, they could call on each other. Even if they lived on different parts of the world, if one of them called the other and said, I need you.
Yeah.
That I'm telling you, the brotherhood and camaraderie in those moments, that other one would say, I'll be there. You know, mm-hmm. I'm coming. I'm on the way. This is something that's needed in the church so much, but people don't take the time to build these relationships,
yeah.
right? Recently, the Lord actually instructed me in the Spirit, I want you to go play this game. And I'm playing a game online. Well, I enjoy it. I like it. But I generally would not spend that much time doing something in that way. But I learned, well, I was talking about that in class one night. And one of the students there perked up. He's like, you play this? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, I do too. I said, all right, let's play, you know. And that time together has been so important. And it'll actually form even more importance in the future than what I think is currently seen.
Yeah.
And it was doing something. This is ministry. There's times where you will do things. I've had times where he told me to go play a game like this one. I've had times where he told me to go do this work.
Mm-hmm.
And I end up working with somebody that I wouldn't have had the time with. And that relationship will help lift one of us or both of us to a different level.
Yes.
Right? And so you see that when we're in family and we're integrated, all of a sudden, if one lifts, they all lift, right? They and it keeps going up. But it has to be invested into. Mm-hmm. Family must be invested into. Mm-hmm. You have to invest your time. You have to invest your resources into family. And if you don't have the family, you won't build up at the strength and the speed that you need to. And you won't be ready if it falls. If one of you falls, it's trouble. The Bible tells us it's trouble if you're sitting there alone. Of course, the devil knows this. This is why he tries to get people, don't communicate, right? No, you can handle this yourself. You don't need to call pastor. Don't worry him with this. Don't call your life group leader. What's he doing? He's trying to get you to fall alone, which is why somebody who understands family will say, hey, what's going on with you? Hey, wait, whoa. What is that? What's that little reaction you had right there? Right? And family, because you know each other, will actually recognize that. If you've not spent time together, you won't even recognize that moment, that there's a problem, there's something there. But family will see those things and say, what's up with that? Why'd you say that way? You know, those kind of things. Why'd you walk by and, like, didn't say anything? You know, those kind of things. That's what family does. And family starts to recognize it and says, no, what's going on? What's the matter? Let's fix this.
Yeah.
You don't get that without family. You don't get those moments. You don't get that accountability. You don't get that growth. You don't get that support outside of family. But we need it. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of ministers that can preach this message, but they don't actually live this message. Mm-hmm. That actually stops and invests in family time. Yeah. Right?
I have so...
Jennifer says... Wow, this is so timely for a conversation I had with my uncle yesterday.
So many different things that are like firing.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm purposing to discern what's of the Lord. And one of the things he was bringing up to me, as you're talking about purposing to serve and invest in that family, is there's a time to invest in the fun, 100%. And then there's also a time to invest in something that also benefits them. Like I'm thinking specifically with prayer. So something that Pastor Ted Shuttlesworth Jr., I've heard him say many times over, is that you can't be offended with somebody you pray for.
Yeah.
Truly. Like if you, as a person of prayer, I can't enter the presence of God. I can't enter the presence of God and truly lift up someone, sow that seed of love into them, and then leave the presence of God offended.
Yes.
So one of the things that I've seen in my own life personally, it was so easy for me to be family with you and Pastor Nicole and with the girls and with Luke. We did fun things together. We went through things together. Like, praise God for all that the Lord has sown through my family into me in that way. But I had some opportunity, really feeling's the wrong word, really believing that I was connected to the family of God in this ministry.
Yeah.
Because for the first few years, the first half really of being at Boomerang was so much sifting. And sifted, like people coming in and coming out and people not having a revelation of covenant. And so at different points, it felt like my heart was just kind of being trampled on, and I'm not their pastor, but people coming in and going, it felt easier to just my four no more with you and the family, with my family, Deb, Sherman, Sharon, like the people that had gone through with me. And then you told me I needed to start praying. And we started doing 6 a.m. prayer. And I'll tell you, serving the body in prayer has led me to love this body and love our partners and have vision for this body so much. And what I'm watching happen among the body of Christ, like among the people that are connected, is as people are hooking into prayer and as people are becoming a people of prayer, a people of family, what's happening is truly someone, as you're saying, someone else's like opportunity, it's something I'm taking on myself. Yeah. It's a personal thing. When there's an attack I'm going through that with them. I'm putting on faith for them in that way. Like, we have people right now in the ministry, self included, that are believing for babies. You know, I can pray so fervently for them. When they get pregnant, like, that's my baby too. When Marky's blessed, I'm blessed.
Yeah.
When Pastor Zach's blessed, I'm blessed. Because I've invested not just in ways they do know, I've invested in ways that they may not know by through prayer and sowing in that way. Like, that's a form of servanthood that I don't think people really have a comprehension of. As we sow our lives into one another, your victories truly become mine.
Yes. And that's vice correct. Versa. 100%. And these are the types of things that you can't have without time invested and spent with each other and making it a point.
Yeah.
The world is teaching you how to not do this. You know, you think about it, used to, everybody got together after church on Sunday and ate dinner together. That almost never happens today. Now, Boomerang, it happens all the time, but that was not the way it was when we started. We had to believe God for that. But then you saw people, they were actually, you know, intermingling and talking and discussing. And then what do you see? You see technology that's actually teaching you to go further and further away. Then they were, you know, then there were cell phones, right? And so now I'm not seeing you, but I'm talking to you on the phone. Then we have voicemail. And then it's like, okay, we're going to let that go to voicemail. Right. Now I don't have to talk to you. Now, you know, now I'm going to not even, you're not even going to hear my voice. Now I'm just going to text you. And now I'm not even going to text you. I'm just going to send you emojis, right? And you see literally the digression of communication and therefore family.
Yeah.
And the devil's trying to weed everybody out into their own little island, and then he can just decimate them all.
Yeah.
But yet family, and then he, why? Well, one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight, right?
Yes, sir.
So you start to see that he knows what he's doing. He's weakening the forces against him. And that's why believers need to put on the culture of heaven to actually strengthen those forces and do what they need to do to be in family and have that. They need the fellowship. They need the partnership. They need the family. I need the fellowship. I need the partnership. I need the family. Yeah. We need the family. We need the partnership. We need the fellowship that is in the Lord. And we need God and the blood of Jesus to be the bond that will not let us go. One last thing before we wrap up today. And tomorrow we'll talk about the benefits of family. But one last thing I want you to see is, you know, you walk into this family in North Carolina and we are so conditioned to believe that people will leave us, that people will not hang out. But see, the family of God should be so covenant-minded that we don't know how to leave people, that we don't know. I'm not saying that you don't let people go. There's times where you need to let people go. It's not an absolute. But when somebody will not repent, you have to let them go. The Word talks about that. If they will not repent, then you have to let them go. If they will not grow with you, you have to move on. These are biblical principles. But what I'm saying is this: you come into this place, and part of it was you saw people that were, you know, there and then not there and stuff like that, and your heart was being tugged on. But the other part is you got stuff to fix.
Yes.
And you got stuff to clean up.
Yep.
And now watch this. And so because I'm afraid that I'll lose my family, I won't open up to the people that I need to. I need help. And so you have this balance and you have this tug of war going on. Like, do I actually open up and have family, or do I protect myself? Because I've seen so many people that don't understand covenant. As soon as I tell them that I've got a problem, they're leaving me.
Yes.
And there's a fear. They're going to leave me, so I can't tell them I got problems. I can't tell them. No, no, no. See, that's the opposite of family. Real family is covenant.
Yes.
You know, it's like I'm thinking of Miss Chrissy right now. When she came in here, you know, Miss Chrissy, I think she would probably tell you, this is just me speculating, I think she would probably tell you, I've never seen a body of Christ like this before. I don't think I've ever seen. In other words, and when she came in here the first day, I said, we will love you. basically, I told her, I'm paraphrasing now, we will love you, we will stick with you, you may have some stuff to clean up, and it may be ugly, and we might not like it, and you might not like it, but we will love you.
Yes.
Right? That's what family is. And we mean that. Yes. It's for real. It's for real. Like, if some reason, all of a sudden, she was not here, my heart would be torn on that, right? And we've only known each other for maybe 6 months or so, 8 months, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think it's not been a year yet. But my heart would be torn because I see her as family. And I think she would say, I'm not used to that. And that's actually uncomfortable, but it's worth it.
Yes.
But it's worth it. Why? Because it's family and that covenant that we need. It's not just about our relationship with God alone. Mm-hmm. It's about our covenant with one another and our ability to help build up the body together,
yeah,
and grow together and have accountability and encouraging one another. And then all of a sudden we become something the devil can't handle.
Yes.
And that's what we want to be. We cannot be somebody that the devil can steamroll. We've got to be the family that steamrolls him. Amen. Miss Chrissy said, I'm crying. I have never seen a body of Christ like this before.
Yeah.
That's the way it's supposed to be. And family doesn't cut ties just because one person messes up.
Mm-hmm.
No, family sticks together and lifts that person up. I just read this today. I read this today. I wish I would have saved it. I don't know if I did or not. Amen. Praise God. Rachel Strong said, Boomerang is the most family-oriented church I've ever been to. Praise God. What a testimony. Glory to God. See, those are real testimonies. Those are real testimonies. I want you to see this. So I was just reading this today, and it was talking about evangelist Jimmy Swaggart, who, if you know Jimmy Swaggart, many people would say that's the most anointed meetings I've ever seen in my life that he had. I've heard that testimony come out of people's mouths. But in 1980s, he had a moral failure, right? And he slipped and fell. And it basically, at that time, destroyed his ministry. And then one of his rivals, basically rivals in the way that the world looks at it, not in real, was Billy Graham. You know, it's kind of like you got these two great evangelists, and you have Billy Graham. And somebody went to Billy Graham, and they said, what do you think about, you know, Jimmy Swaggart? He said, as anointed as he is, what that really, you know, makes me think of is, if it could be him, it could also be me. Now's not the time to pull him down. Now's the time, and not the time to destroy him and talk bad about him, but now's the time to lift him up. This is what made Billy Graham great, is that he understood family when he could have actually said, yeah, it's so bad, I can't believe he did that. He said, now's the time to pull him up. That's what family is. That's what family needs to be. Now watch this, but if you don't really know people and you don't really have an integrated life with them, and you're not actually walking with them and running the race with them, it's so much easier just to say, yeah, they messed up. I wish they wouldn't have done that. But when you actually have true, God-ordained family, you can't just let people go.
No.
It doesn't happen like that. No, they're intertwined in your heart and in your spirit.
Yes.
And that's the right thing, right? Now, that doesn't mean that you leave yourself out there for everybody to trample on. There's actually safeguards against that on how to do this right without doing that. And if somebody, here's the thing, if somebody won't change, you have to let them go. And that's okay. And that's godly and it's biblical. But if they'll change, then you go and find that lost person. You help them. If they fall, you lift them up. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're repentant, then you help them,
yeah,
right? If they're in pride and they won't change, that's a different thing. But as soon as they do change, you can go and lift them up. Remember the person that Paul was talking about to the Corinthians? He's like, you need to basically have nothing to do with this guy. And then the second letter, he basically says, all right, now, he said he's gone through it. And basically a heart change had happened. He said, go lift him up.
Yes.
Now go lift him up. After the heart change, lift him up. Be there for him, yes. Right? Be there for him. So, Father, right now, we just thank you for family. We thank you for the power of family. Thank you, Lord, for this topic. You woke me up today with this topic. Lord, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. And I give you the glory and the honor. Lord, let family be established in our ministry and ministries that we are attached to around your body of Christ all over the world. Let the power of a spiritual family rise up like never before. Father, we thank you for the unity and the commanded blessing attached to the family of Christ. We praise you. We worship you. Lord, we thank you for family. We thank you for covenant. We praise you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name. Lord, let us see the need and the necessity to sow time and resources into family. Let us see that. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Glory to God. We love you so very, very much. And we will see you tomorrow. We'll talk about the benefits of family. And they're awesome. So get ready to receive that. And get ready for everything that's coming up. If you want to sow into the ministry, sow in. Listen, we have an opportunity right now. The Lord has told us to get ready to go on DirecTV and satellite across the U.S., the U.K., and all of Africa, not just one time a week, but five days a week, Monday through Friday. We're stepping into that now. If you want to partner with us and start sowing on a regular basis to help support that, like a monthly basis, you're welcome to. You don't have to. We're going to do it anyway. But if you want to be a part of it and the grace that's on that to release that outflow, then you can be a part of that. You can partner with us. This is also a part of family. Lord, how if this is not for everybody, but this is for some of the partners. Lord, they're stretching their faith for it. I'm a partner. Let me stretch my faith for it too. Let me just tell you this. Let me tell you a story. Brother Tracy was believing to go on TV. They needed a certain budget. In the ministry, we didn't really have the free funds to go and help in what we did. But I said, Lord, they're stretching right now. We're going to take our calling and our ministry, and we're going to stretch ourselves in faith right now, and we're going to release. We released that before we ever went on TV, before we ever went on broadcasting on satellite. We released something that caused us to stretch a little bit, right? Now, it wasn't maybe a year or 2 years later, we were the ones actually going on TV and had the finances to do it. It was all handled. And it'll be the same way with this. We'll have all the finances to do it and to handle it. But how did that open up? How did we get to the place where we're now looking at going 5 days a week on satellite all over the world? How did that come to pass? Because in our partnership, we said, in family, we're going to sow in that way.
Yes.
And so that's not for everybody, but that some people, when I say that, you're going to be like, that's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm feeling. If that's you, just be obedient to the Lord. The amount is just obedience. That's it. Just follow what the Lord's saying in that way. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow with the benefits of family. Here's William to wrap it up.
Hey guys, like Pastor Brian said, if you guys have leading to sow, there's lots of different options, lots of different ways that you can go about doing that. You can scan the QR code on this lovely lower third, go to givewwww.org, and there's all the different ways. That website will show you the same ones that you see right here. We've got Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, Text to Give, and I think there is one on the website that may not be on that lower third. But if you go to that website, you can find it. But as you guys are sowing today, we just want to pray a blessing over the seed. So Father, right now, we thank you for the opportunity to sow. Thank you for good soil that we get to sow into. Thank you that we get to stretch ourselves as we sow today. As we sow, we expect a harvest, an abundant harvest returning to the sower in Jesus' name. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, thank you for joining us today. Today was an awesome, awesome word. If you haven't yet, make sure you like, share, comment, subscribe, hit the little notification bell next to the subscription button so that you guys never miss a video. YouTube's great. It'll tell you when we go live. But as you guys are tuning off for today, don't go yet because I've got a couple announcements for you. Coming up soon, quickest thing, the most timely thing that we're going to have coming up soon is going to be prayer tomorrow morning. We started a couple weeks ago broadcasting our 6 a.m. Frontlines prayer call that we've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years, but now it's live, and you guys can watch it. Well, it was live before. I mean, live on, like, camera and stuff. But you guys can tune in at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Brian Wright YouTube channel, exact same place you guys are right now, and join us for 6 a.m. prayer. It has been a tremendous, tremendous time. There is not a day that it has not been an anointed time of prayer, and it has been amazing. So, love to see you guys there tomorrow morning at 6, and then every weekday at 6. But after that, this upcoming weekend, we have the Kingdom Ministry Affiliation Spring Ministry Conference in Roxboro, North Carolina. That's going to be April 4th and 5th, this upcoming Friday and Saturday. You can go to kingdomministry.net/events or scan the QR code on your screen. If you're watching on your phone, you may have the ability to tap it, and that'll take you to the website. But that is going to be an awesome, awesome time talking about Kingdom Ministry and all the good things that that entails. If you want more information, go to that website, scan the QR code, and that'll give you all the details that you need. But make sure to register if you plan on going, because that lets us and them and everybody know that you guys are coming, and they can plan accordingly. But other than that, coming up soon in May, May 4th through the 7th, we have financial breakthrough meetings with Brother Eddie Smith coming up. You can go to boomerangchurch.org/breakthrough or scan the QR code on your screen to register today. If you guys have been believing for breakthrough in your finances in any area, whether that be business, personal, for your family, make sure you're at these meetings. They're going to be an anointed time. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be a Sunday PM, so we're still going to have Sunday morning service like usual, but we're going to have a Sunday PM, and then Monday through Wednesday, it'll be taking over Lunch Plus time regularly, so we'll have a service in the morning and the night, or actually, it'll be on Lunch Plus if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, we'll have something in the day, and then we'll have service at night. I don't remember exactly what it is. But after that, we have our partner camp meeting coming up just a few short months away, coming up August 6th through the 8th here at Boomerang Church. Go to whatsright.com/campmeeting or scan the QR code on your screen to register for that. If you guys are a partner, we want you guys to be here. And even if you're not a partner, ask the Lord, pray about it, see if you need to partner, and if the Lord is leading you to, there are, I think we have a lower third back there for that. Do we have a lower third for partnership, George? Can you throw it up? I'm throwing you a curveball. There it is! Look at that. Become a partner. I disappeared, but that's not what's important. What's important is that you guys have the link, whatsright.com/partner, or you can scan the QR code on your screen to partner today if the Lord's leading you to. That is going to be an awesome, awesome time. That is one of our two major events that we do every year. We have Kickstart at the beginning of the year and the partner camp meeting toward the end, and it is going to be amazing. So, the Lord's leading you to. If you guys have leading to show up and be here, we'd love to have you. Just make sure you register and let us know that you guys are coming so that we can prepare accordingly. But with that, that's all the announcements that I have for you guys today. Thank you for joining us. Make sure that you tune in again tomorrow to hear again about family and the benefits of family and how family is awesome. I don't remember exactly what Pastor said, but we're talking about family tomorrow. So if you want to hear more, come back at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time for another awesome Lunch Plus on the Brian Wright YouTube channel. We love you guys. Go have an awesome day. Bye. Never, 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 never
Thank you.